From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. A vast majority of people responding to a Minnesota Department of Natural Resources online survey oppose the idea of a gray wolf hunting and trapping season in the state. Outdoors writers Sam Cook of the Duluth News Tribune and Doug Smith of the Star Tribune both report that more than 7,000 people have completed the online survey about Minnesota's first formal wolf hunting and trapping season. According to Kathy Don Carlos, Deputy Director of the Division of Fish and Wildlife for the DNR, of the 7,351 respondents, only about 1,500 supported a hunting and trapping season on wolves. After the gray wolf was removed from the federal endangered species list in January, the Minnesota legislature passed a bill establishing this fall's season. The early wolf hunting season will begin on November 3rd, the same day as the state's firearms deer season. A later hunting and trapping season will begin November 24th. The DNR now must decide how to structure and manage that season, and the primary purpose of the online survey was to gather input for the process. However, the first question in the survey asked whether the respondents supported or opposed the wolf season. Lake Superior College is a partner in a regional center of excellence receiving nearly $3 million to educate and train manufacturing technicians. The Duluth News Tribune reports the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities Manufacturing and Applied Engineering Center of Excellence is receiving the grant from the National Science Foundation. The center will use the four-year grant to work with K-12 schools to encourage more high school students to pursue manufacturing careers and prepare them for manufacturing technician programs. It will refine industry-driven curricula so it better serves the manufacturing industry and anticipates future needs, and it will assess student learning to improve the program. FEMA representatives visited the North Shore this week to assess the damage caused by flooding and storms. Lake County officials estimate flooding from the Knife River caused $1 million to $2 million in damage to roads and bridges. Several spots along Highway 61 remained closed, but they would open by this weekend. This week, FEMA crews will tour flood damage in Duluth along with Greater St. Louis and Carleton counties. The rain that flooded Duluth last week also flushed an unprecedented quantity of dirt, pollution, and bacteria into Lake Superior, enough to make experts worry about the long-term environmental consequences on the largest and clearest of the Great Lakes. The Star Tribune reports one day after the storm, sediment runoff made the lake opaque for miles along the shore. Satellite photos show a wide swath of mud streaming into the lake from the Duluth Harbor almost all the way to the Apostle Islands. "We don't know what's going to happen because we've never seen this," said Elizabeth Austin Miner, an associate professor of chemistry at the University of Minnesota Duluth's Large Lakes Observatory. Lake Superior is different from smaller inland lakes and even other Great Lakes because it has relatively little food. As a result, it doesn't produce the quantity of algae and plants and the diversity of aquatic life typical of other lakes. But researchers said the historically intense rain, as much as 10 inches that fell in the Duluth area last week, might change that in at least the western arm of Lake Superior. The water swept nitrogen, phosphorus, carbon, and bacteria into the lake, a huge influx of food for the ecosystem. "We don't know how quickly the lake will reset or if it's pushed itself to a different state," Austin Miner said. Her measurements showed that the water was so dirty that no light could penetrate to a depth of over 98 feet. Minnesota state legislative leaders from both parties toured the Duluth and Carleton County areas this week to view damage from last week's flood and express support for a special session to pay for flood relief. The Duluth News Tribune reports Senate Majority Leader David Senjum said during a news conference he believes there's probably going to be a special session in the near future. Senjum and other members of the legislative delegation said that estimates of the damage are needed before a session date is set. Ultimately, it's up to Governor Mark Dayton to call a special session, which he indicated he would do during a tour of flood-ravaged areas in Carleton County this week. The The Air Force and Civil Air Patrol are suspending the search for a Twin Cities pilot and his plane that went missing 2 weeks ago over northeastern Minnesota. Mike Bratley of Lakeville left a South St. Paul airport in his Piper PA-31 Navajo on the 8th of June, bound for Duluth. He made his last radar contact in the Silver Bay area, and since then, search crews on the ground from the air and on Lake Superior looked in vain for evidence of a crash. Civil Air Patrol spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Paul Hertel said the search ended after 13 days without success. He says searchers covered over 2,000 square miles and that likely crash areas were searched multiple times. Well, a Detroit area pizza chain is launching a new line of Great Lakes themed pizzas to help support environmental efforts in the region. Buddy's Pizza announced this week that $1 from each pie sold from its Made in Michigan Great Lakes pizza collection will be donated to the Alliance for the Great Lakes, a Chicago-based environmental group. Now, each of the five Great Lakes gets its own pizza. The Lake Superior pizza features basil, pine nuts, and pepperoni. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.